Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, welcome into the PHNX Sun Show. She's Lindsay, I'm Aspo. And look, I think we're wearing the same thing we wore on Thursday.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
I just recycled it.
That's fine.
I did laundry this weekend, though, so don't worry.
That's fine.
I'm just here so I don't get fined. You got to do the heavy lifting, Aspo.
I'm here for that, too. You know, we talked with, Saul talked with Eddie Johnson, had some interesting things to say. Check this out.
If you were the GM of this, if you were James Jones, or Matt Ishbia, whichever role you would like, what would you do to fix the Suns this offseason?
Why do you think I showed up with this?
There you go.
Why do you think I showed up?
I'm sorry. You think Chris Paul is old. You should check out Daryl Dawkins. I promise.
Why do you think I showed up with this shirt? I'm sending a subliminal message.
Okay, what is that? You want somebody that's going to dunk?
Get freaking physical.
Yeah.
Listen, the Suns need to get more physical. I've said that over the last couple of years. This is a guy, and I guess it all coincides with how I view Devin and Kevin Durant. Like, when I played Saul, I had bodyguards. Like, I legitimately had bodyguards, dude.
Who?
LaSalle Thompson, my first bodyguard.
Mark West?
Leon Douglas, okay? You don't know who he is. Josie Merriweather. These are guys that broke me in. Oh, yeah, I'm old.
Did they play for
Sam Lacy?
Did they play for the Sheboygan Hawks?
Sam Lacy, okay? As a rookie, I came into the Kansas City Kings. Those were my dudes. Ray Williams. Ray Williams, physical, 6'3", kick your butt. Like, I had bodyguards. Otis Thorpe.
Yeah, Otis.
Okay? Trust me, I'm not done. Otis Thorpe, man. Joe Klein. Big Head Joe.
He did that.
My boy.
Yeah.
I had physical dudes around me. In Phoenix, Big Daddy, Mark, Andrew Lane.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Like T.R. Dunn, physical.
T.R. Dunn,
Thunder
wow.
Dan, physical.
Yeah.
Like, that's where success comes from. Then I go to Seattle. Sean Kemp. Come on, man. Huh? Physical. Michael Cage. Sam Perkins. Like, every team has that. I go to Charlotte. Lonzo Mourning.
Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson.
Ooh, Larry Johnson.
Mike Jaminski. I got to throw my boy G-Man in there. All right? I end my career. Almost. Indiana. I got Dale Davis. Antonio Davis.
The Davis brothers, yeah.
Rick Smith.
Jeez.
You get my point?
Yeah, I got your point.
Hey, I finish in Houston.
Yeah.
I got Charles.
Yeah, Kevin Willis.
Oh, by
too?
The way, we'll be on my show today, SiriusXM NBA Radio. Charles Barkley will be a guest today on my show, 1 to 4. Come the whole 3 hours if you want to hear him.
Why don't you bring him here, man? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on now.
We'll get him in. We'll get him in. Okay. And then at the end, Charles, Hakeem, Kevin Willis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now think about that. My entire career, every team I was on, had enforcers. Two reasons. One, I was hot. Payow. I was what? A marked man. Dudes were trying to hit me. Mm-hmm. Buck Williams once laid me out. That's my boy.
Buck Williams.
Laid me out. Said, Eddie, I love you, but don't come around here. I said, I'm still going to come around. And he said, I'm going to keep laying you out. I accepted it, right? So that's what you need. You need guys to protect you. One, two, get you open. Three, I talk jump. So guys jump in my face. Huh, my boy's right there. Well, what? What? Mm-hmm. We don't have that. Seriously, name it.
No, I know. No, we don't.
Name it.
I would say the closest we had was Jock. Jock played with tenacity.
I like Jock.
No, I like Jock.
But what I'm saying is, you need, like, and Jock was up and down in his minutes. Mm-hmm. But Jock can evolve to that. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, Jock can.
Yeah.
Okay. But my point is, you need that. Busy. He's that. But the thing is, those two guys were limited in how many minutes they were going to be on the floor.
Don't forget to come hang out with us on June 2nd out at the BetMGM Sportsbook for our Cornhole League. It happens every first Friday of the month, May through August. It's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. They're going to have food and beverage specials, giveaways, BetMGM prizes, and so much more. Plus, all of our shows will be live from the BetMGM Sportsbook before that tips off. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, make sure you do that and use code PHNX. There's a few different offers depending on where you live. But for our Arizona audience, you will get up to $100 in bonus bets on your first wager with BetMGM. Again, as long as you use that promo code PHNX. You can check out the show notes for full details. And now you can listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Disclaimer, 21 plus to wager. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. U.S. promotional offers not available in Washington, D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, New York, and Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369, New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona, 1-800-522-4700, Kansas, Nevada, 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts, 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help, Michigan.
I'm really excited for next Friday, Lindsay, because I'm really good at putting things in holes. And I like to do it when I'm having some OGs, all right? OGs, my favorite thing. We've told the story on the show before in Vegas, having one of the OGs edibles and getting lost on the concourse.
That was a very Saul-esque joke there. I'm not going to lie.
I figure, you know, it's a holiday Monday. We got to have some fun with it. But I am super excited. OGs, the best scratch-made gummies in the business. You know, the Aquaberry Sleep Edition, the CBN and THC 2-to-1 ratio, the flavors there, it helps you sleep. And as a father of a 6-year-old and Jacob, the producer, a father of a little newborn there, sometimes you just need something to help you get to sleep because you don't get very much of it. And OGs takes care of you there. And then you use strawberries and cream CBD THC 1-to-1 ratio. That happy balance gummy
solid. Is
spectacular. So make sure to find them at your local dispensary or at OGsBrands.com. Must be 21 and older and enjoy responsibly.
We do have a special guest joining us. Stephen Pridgen, Suns contributor over at Bright Side of the Sun, is here to talk a little bit about fixing the Phoenix Suns. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm well, and I'm blessed. How about you? How y'all doing?
We're
fantastic.
Doing solid.
Can't complain at all.
Absolutely. Okay, first things first. I know this is kind of a very open-ended question, but we did that on purpose. We kind of just want to let you run here. How would you fix the Suns this offseason if you were Matt Ishbia or if you had all control?
Well, I don't think the sky is falling in any sense when you have two potential top 12 players, depending on how you want to rank them in tow. And then you also have a young talent in the center who you can do what you decide to with, but that either has attention that he can get from the market or still has a lot of potential that he can be invested in terms of internal development. And then you also have a point guard that's a Hall of Famer. So that's a lot to work with at the foundation of any other decisions you would decide to make. And kind of branching off from that, I think you can go a myriad of different ways in terms of how you want to shape shift your roster going into next season. However, I do feel like the best way, if I was Matt Ishbia, the way you phrased the question, if I was Matt, I would look to at least see what you could get in return for DeAndre Ayton. Of course, his stock won't be any lower than it is at the moment based off of his playoff showing. But seeing what you could get for him potentially, engaging what you should do based off of that, I think it's almost a no-brainer at this point. You have to at least entertain the thought of it. As far as Chris Paul goes, I would still look to see what we can get out of the roster with chemistry built with him in tow, because of course I think you all would probably agree that he was the most effective by having Kevin Durant in the mix in terms of him not initiating offense nearly as much as he was accustomed to, in addition to having to play more off the ball in terms of playing and catch and shoot and attacking closeouts and things like that. So I think I would give him another chance or crack at it, in a sense, just to see what it looks like with him healthy with this team, especially with Kevin Durant being healthy. But yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at with the roster. And outside of the big four, I would look to add as much shooting and as much defense in terms of ancillary players around this group.
Steven, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot a little bit in regards to DA. All right. Obviously, everybody has their opinions on DA, and depending on which way you view him and how you feel about him, because I feel like the two coexist for a lot of Suns fans. They can't separate the two. What do you see from him in terms of things that he could improve outside of effort? Because one of the things that's obviously been predominant about DA has been his effort. Do you think, now that Monty Williams is gone, that he could be coached up a little bit, if you will? Or do you think it's kind of he is what he is and it's a lost cause?
I do think a new offensive system could help him in terms of his individual production, if we're speaking primarily as a scorer. However, I do also feel like there have been a handful of moments, whether that be in the middle of the season where Chris Paul was out and other players, Devin Booker, missed a handful of games, where he was being kind of called to task in terms of operating in a way similarly to what people would hope for him to show if he was to remain past this offseason with the Suns. And he didn't necessarily – he left a lot to be desired in that alignment of sight with his production. So I'm not sure how much more you could get from him with this team. It kind of feels like, in a sense, that the hourglass has kind of ran out with this time here in Phoenix, and it might be time for change just for all existing parties, just to move forward with somewhat of a clean slate. But I do feel like he does have untapped potential. It just might not necessarily come out being with the Suns. I think a lot of that might be pertaining to who they decide to go with in terms of a head coach and how they value DeAndre Ayton's talent.
You're a guy that likes to look at a lot of film. What was it in the two playoff series that give you hope that this is something that can really be built on going into next year?
Are you talking specifically with Ayton or just as a team as a whole?
Just the team in general.
Well, I think the first thing is that when they figured out what worked against the Denver Nuggets specifically, they were able to get to that in a multitude of ways. So primarily being their three-player actions, whether that be dribble handoffs or pick and roll variations, once they figured out what pressure points they could hit within the Nuggets defense and how to go about hitting those spots, they were able to do it ad nauseum. Man, we saw when Kevin Durant's efficiency started to return, we saw him be close to that player that the Suns have expected him to be for that team. And we saw what Devin Booker was doing, being the best scorer in the playoffs. And then we also saw him, Devin Booker specifically, being able to showcase the playmaking ability, which continues to be underrated for him, through those actions that they found out they were able to kind of push the Nuggets and stretch them out defensively. So I think in terms of their offensive process, especially when Chris Paul was out, I think there's a lot for them to kind of build off of and hope to build even more on with Chris Paul back in the mix.
To piggyback on that question, Steven, because you have broken down, if you don't follow Steven on Twitter, make sure you do, because he does an excellent job breaking down plays and sets. With Monty Williams out, what do you kind of prioritize in an offensive system? I know it's a tough question to answer with basically everyone except for KD and Book feeling safe here in Phoenix, but what do you kind of look for the next coach and hope that he's able to implement with those two stars and build around that?
Well, honestly, I would kind of inverse your question some and look at the defensive side of the ball first, because while I do think there was a lot to be desired on the offensive side, I also think they left a lot on the table defensively. A handful of times we pointed out that DeAndre Ayton was up at the level of the screens, primarily in pick and roll defense a handful of times. We didn't see that nearly enough in the playoffs, in my honest opinion. And I do feel like the Suns, in terms of their defensive activity, that was one way that they could have dictated things against the Denver Nuggets, and we didn't see that nearly enough. So I do think that defensively, regardless of who it is and personnel, having a coach that's willing to be more risky and dictative with their defensive principles and process will be important for this team, because having a seven-footer like Kevin Durant on your back line is something that most teams in the NBA wish they could get, especially with that player being able to rim protect and be an anchor for a switch in defense, in a sense, without fouling. And then if we transition to the offensive side, a coach that's going to push the limits of this team. So taking a template that Monty Williams had with pick and roll play and then off-ball actions with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, and starting to marry the two to where Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are as a tandem working together on the offensive side of the floor, rather than one being spaced on the second side, being a proverbial valuable decoy, and keeping them involved as a tandem and being able to weaponize their tandem play for the offensive process as well. I think that would be important too.
Okay, so you broke down the characteristics and what you're looking for in a coach. As far as the names that have been floated so far, coaches we know who are available, or at least that the Suns are interested in seeing if they're available. Do you have a preference, or can you kind of give us maybe your top three at least?
Well, I think Saul repeated the name that rings loudest for all Suns fans, Suns reporters, and anybody that's paying attention to the team, because Ty Lue's proven on the playoff stage. He's also proven to go off script when he needs to get wins. And I feel like we could all agree in assessing the Suns the past two playoffs that there was a lot to be desired in terms of going off script from what's comfortable to potentially just at least see what they could do when they're doing things that they aren't necessarily comfortable doing. So I think Ty Lue would definitely be at the top of that list. If we're speaking independent of Ty Lue, I do think that, and he doesn't get he doesn't get lauded the most in terms of the coaches available, but I think Mike Budenholzer showed a lot with the Milwaukee Bucks in terms of experimenting with things on offense to put their three best players or the two best players consistently in actions to compromise the defense, especially in crunch time. For the Bucks, if Suns fans remember, in fourth quarters of those games in the finals, a lot of times it would be either Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo working from the elbows and pick and roll in a condensed floor to force switches, force unders, and force different types of responses from the defense, and then just countering off of that. But primarily speaking, with those two, keeping the two best offensive weapons consistently in action is to keep a defense rotating or keeping them compromised in some capacity. So I think Mike Budenholzer, especially with his experience and also having beat the team, would be a coach that should jump off the page in terms of availability. And another name that I would keep an eye on, I'm not sourced in any capacity, so don't take this as me breaking news or anything like that. we've seen what Kenny Atkinson can do when he has weapons to work with in terms of an offense. I do think that, of course, he still has things to prove as a coach on that stage. But if we're just looking at coaches that fit in alignment with the things that I've mentioned in terms of the offensive process, I think Kenny Atkinson, especially what he's learned from the Golden State Warriors this past season, could certainly add a newfound dimension and evolution to this offense.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Well, Steven, thank you so much for stopping in and giving us all your info.
I got to ask.
Yeah, I got one more question too. Go ahead.
Steven, how long did it take to grow that beard? I am very jealous of that thing.
Man, I've been growing this since my senior year in high school, so it's been a few years.
before we let you go, I do have a CP3 question. In terms of his overall production specifically, and if he were to stay on the Suns, do you believe that obviously the reliability issues aside, did you like how the Suns used him this season? In terms of a new spot up role, less ball handling. And do you see that being something that he could continue next year? Obviously, it feels like there's a slight depreciation in terms of his value overall and what he contributes on a day-to-day basis. But what's your perspective on him specifically?
So I do think the way that they used him coming into this season, this is speaking before Kevin Durant came into the mix, I felt that was most optimal to kind of preserve him and put him on ice going into the playoffs. And I think naturally that lended itself to him kind of better ingratiating himself than he would if they kept things going how it was last season after they added Kevin Durant. He was kind of already used to being in that role where he was off the ball a little bit more. So that, of course, expanded more when Kevin Durant came in. But I do think that that's a role that he could certainly play for this team. And I think, as with any Hall of Fame player, especially a player that's played in the league for 18 seasons, you can't last in the league if you're not willing to evolve and you're not able to evolve. And I think he's proven that he can do both of those things at multiple stops over the course of his career. And I also think that as we saw the team exit from the playoffs, we saw a need for his presence in terms of playmaking. So him being able to show that he can play off the ball, but also obviously being able to revert back to initiating offense at any given moment, is something that you might not necessarily be able to find to the extent that he could provide. And then especially having a feel and chemistry with playing with Kevin Durant as well as Devin Booker. It's kind of something that you can't necessarily find looking other places. So I do think that he has value for this team moving forward.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. We appreciate your time and thank you for dropping in and sharing some of your knowledge and insight with us. And as Gerald mentioned, if you guys don't follow Steven on Twitter, you absolutely need to. He is at StayTrueS.3. So make sure you go give him a follow for all of his great content over there. Steven, thank you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Steven.
Thank you. I'll be blessed.
As you can see here at PHNX, we love our little tchotchkes. We've got them in both studios here. We've got them all around the office. And the best place to get them for your house, for your set, or your office is, of course, at FOCO. They have the best officially licensed gear for all sports and fandoms. FOCO always has our back for Arizona sports, and they have yours too. You can get the best gear around by visiting FOCO.com and using that code PHNX. For all non-presale items, use the code PHNX for 10% off.
Lindsay, I love toys, but you know what I love more than toys?
Beer!
Four Peaks beer. That's right. And our friends at Four Peaks have something very special going on for you. It's the Four Peaks Four Seats. One lucky winner will get four seats to an upcoming Diamondbacks game. Tickets come with D-Bucks, so you can grab some food or an ice-cold Wild Wheat, my favorite, or any of the Four Peaks beers that they have around the ballpark. And you can enter by going to at Four Peaks Brew on Instagram. The link is in the bio as well. Check out at Four Peaks Brew or at Four Peaks Pub to keep up with the latest at Arizona's hometown brewery. Must be 21 and older to drink Four Peaks, and please drink responsibly.
Well, it sounds like we have a special guest joining us.
We do.
We do. Our friend is here, Noah Eagle. He's the radio voice of the LA Clippers. Noah, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing great. I'm doing better now. I feel a positive energy radiating from the three of you. Very bright and colorful set. I mean, I couldn't really ask for much more. So now I feel like I'm up here. I was here.
You know? That's, perfect.
That's not the energy. That's just the Phoenix heat you're feeling through the screen. So.
Can you give me some more tan? Because it's been nice and cloudy in LA. That'd be great.
Listen, we're so jealous of you. I would swap you weather in a heartbeat if I could. I promise you that.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Well, Noah, thanks for coming on. I'm just going to hop into it, man. What have you been hearing? A lot of changes there with the Clippers, but what have you been hearing on the Ty Lue front? Have you heard anything in terms of the head coach? I know he had met with the team, but what are you hearing?
Yeah, no, I mean, not a whole lot. Look, Tyronn Lue is certainly under contract for a couple more years with the Clippers, and he's had three highly successful years considering the circumstances that he's had to deal with in many ways. Year one takes him to the conference finals for the first time in franchise history without Kawhi Leonard as he tore his ACL in game four of the second round. Year two, Kawhi plays literally zero games. Paul George plays 31. They still finish with a winning record and continue their plus 500 streak. And then this year, Kawhi misses a handful, almost half the season. Paul George misses about 35% of the season. And still, the five seed, take that game one, and who knows what happens with these two teams if Kawhi doesn't go down. So I do think there's a lot of belief that Tyronn Lue is the right guy here. I haven't heard any noise of anything opposite, and so we'll see how it all plays out. But for now, at least, that's kind of what I've gathered.
Yeah, he's got those 2 years left on his contract, obviously, that kind of aligns with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George's situation. Do you, I mean, you said that, like, you feel like he's the right man for the job. Do you feel like on his end, maybe he's looking ahead to that timeline and thinking, okay, are you guys going to commit to me long term, or what's your kind of read on that part of the situation?
No, so I think you got to remember that Teron was drafted by the Lakers, and the man who drafted him was Jerry West, who, of course, is an analyst with the Clippers right now and has been for the last several years. Those two have as close a relationship as you'll find. Mm-hmm. You know, Teron believes Jerry and looks at Jerry as another father figure, so to speak, in his life, someone that he can bounce ideas off of and someone he can trust 150%. That goes back to the hiring process when they were looking at different head coaches a couple of years ago. Those two were talking constantly, making sure they were still on the same page. I think Lawrence Frank is very much a collaborative type of person and likes to make sure everyone's included. And so long as that core group feels like it's together, I think Teron Lue makes the most sense. He's someone who's a proven winner as a head coach, someone who, in my experience talking to him, is an absolute basketball genius. Mm-hmm. Up and down. He eats, sleeps, breathes the game. He watches constant film. If he's not watching a film for his game, he's watching someone else's game. That's just how he is. That's just what he does. It's what he loves. And so there's a trust with him and the superstars you mentioned, Kawhi and Paul George. There's a trust with him and Steve Ballmer, the owner of the team. So it makes sense that he would stay. But again, this is the NBA and things happen constantly. And so you never know where the cookie ends up crumbling. But just from my perspective, I don't think he's looking at anywhere other than literally right directly in front of him. That's just how he is. He's never someone who's trying to plan too far ahead.
Well, we don't really love to hear that one, selfishly, I will say, anyway. But obviously, general manager Michael Winger accepted the job at Monumental Basketball. Does that change anything, in your opinion, as far as what might happen in the front office of the Clippers with the coaching staff and whatnot?
No, not necessarily. Look, there's always going to be a musical chairs of sorts around the NBA every offseason. And right now, you guys are experiencing it with the head coaching position, and you're not the only one. It feels like there will be a lot of shifting amongst the coaching world. So Monty, depending on what he decides to do, will end up somewhere else, whether it be this year or in the future. And Mike Budenholzer could be the same deal. Nick Nurse could be the same deal. I mean, you go down a long, long list. Obviously, Ime Udoka already took the job in Houston. It feels like one of those off seasons where it's very coach focused. It's going to be a heavy coaching carousel versus others where maybe there are more coaches that stay, but players who are shifting around, and then others where maybe it's front offices. For the Clippers, they're going to have to figure out what they want to do and how they want to move forward without Michael. Again, Lawrence Frank is the president of basketball operations. He was the guy who technically answers all the calls and the questions and is the final decision maker amongst that group. But I mentioned the word collaboration because I feel like that's what I've experienced in my 4 years with the team is a collaborative group. Michael was as big a part of it as anybody. He is a salary cap genius. He is a super intelligent guy. And I think that the Wizards and Monumental and all of them, they got a great, great pickup, and I'm happy for them. But from the Clippers' perspective, you still have Lawrence Frank running things. You still have Jerry West as an analyst. You never know who becomes available, and I'm sure everybody around the league is monitoring what Bob Myers is going to decide to do. And you never know for a guy who went to UCLA if he wants to come back to LA and get back to his roots. But for now, I would say that the Clippers should have immense trust in the group that they still have, a group that has brought them Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and a really great, deep surrounding cast around them. So we'll see how it all plays out.
I love to get outsider perspectives when it comes to the Suns. Obviously, you got to watch them in that opening round series. What was your assessment of what you saw in particular from Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and kind of the future that you think for this team?
Well, I think Devin Booker, let me put it this way, and you guys know this because you're constantly around. I think he's been doing this for years. He's been doing this since before the team was good. And, you know, he's been putting together virtuoso, incredible, uber efficient performances essentially since he walked into the NBA. He's just doing it now on a much bigger scale and a much bigger stage. And what he did in terms of scoring output and efficiency over the course of the however many games that he was essentially averaging almost 40 on basically 65% shooting or above, that's insane. That's a different level that he showed that he can reach. So we know he's at superstar status right now. He's, in my opinion, the best shooting guard in the NBA, and I think he proved that. And really what else stood out about him, especially in that first round series, was his willingness to put in that maximum defensive effort. I thought that he really proved himself a little bit more on the defensive end. Look, Kevin Durant's Kevin Durant. You know, I know that maybe he didn't look quite the same, although he still averaged about 30 in the playoffs and he was still shooting the ball pretty well. I think it's just going to take a little time for those two to really get to know exactly where they like it and in which spots. And certainly KD's gravity helped open things up for Book. But that's a duo that nobody's going to want to have to face. That's a duo that nobody is ever going to want to feel like they can get through or have to get through, because they're as lethal as anyone. I mean, just the two games they took in that series with Denver, those two guys just took over, plain and simple. And they can do that every single night, especially when they're locked in and especially when they have now a full offseason and training camp to prepare with one another. So dangerous, dangerous duo. Now it's about finding the correct surrounding pieces for them.
No, I wanted to ask you about a guy who was in the spotlight in that series and played really well for the Clippers, Russell Westbrook, who, you know, started the year as kind of a punching bag for the Lakers, and then by the end of the season was a great performer for the Clippers in the playoffs. Do you get the sense that bringing him back is a priority, or is that something they're kind of going to take it as it goes, as free agency market kind of churns?
So I think that just from being around a little bit and hearing just murmurs around the league, both Russ and the Clippers would love to bring him back. He'd love to be there. I think he really enjoyed the organization and how they opened their doors and really put their arms around him and at the same time let him be him. I think Tyronn Lue deserves a ton of credit for how he handled Russ, and especially on a team that has a lot of guys that have pride, and you bring in a young, exciting piece in Bones Highland, and he plays really well in the first couple games before the trade deadline, and then Russ comes in after the All-Star break and takes the spot, essentially. And there was a three-week stretch where Bones didn't play a minute. And then, sure enough, he gets thrust back into it. And again, credit to the coaching staff for keeping him engaged, because he played some great basketball, including in that series with the Suns. So I do think that Russ was happy that he got to be himself again and just got to play freely and not worry about X, Y, or Z. At the same time, he knows that he earned himself some extra money, and he's got a shelf life, as does every player on their career. He knows he has to capitalize, and the Clippers aren't going to look at him and say, hey, don't take extra dollars if you feel that's best for you and your family. They want to take care of the player. They feel strongly about the relationships that they foster over years. And so would they love to have him back? Absolutely. But it's going to have to come at a price that's probably lower than maybe others can offer him, and he's going to have to be okay with that.
Noah, I got to ask this before we let you go. Does Steve Ballmer bring the same energy all the time, or is that just a sideline thing?
That is him, 150% authentic him. Now, I will say Matt Ishbia's ball skills were pretty impressive in that second round series. So I don't know what Steve's ball skills look like. What I do know is when I interviewed with him for the job at the end, he asked me, do you have any questions? And, you know, I always come prepared, as most people do for a job interview. And so I said, well, what are you looking for out of your broadcaster? What do you want? And I swear to God, he didn't even pause for a millisecond. He didn't even blink. He looked me dead in the eye and he goes, someone who's hardcore. I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I can be hardcore. I think I got whatever hardcore I had to, whatever juices I had to squeeze out of myself. But that's him. 100%.
That's amazing. Gosh, that is the best story.
Very genuinely and authentic.
I love that. That is so funny. Goodness gracious. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Noah. We really appreciate your time. And I know the people in the chat were very thankful of the compliments that you gave Devin Booker and Kevin Durant from that Clippers Sun series a little while back. So thank you again.
Go find some sun and get that suntan.
Yeah,
no, I need it. I need it. I need that sunshine on me. I know Lotto has the right idea. Devin Booker. All right. Peace out. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks.
Well, it's a holiday, and Espo has been on one with his ad reads today. So why not keep the trend going? You want to tell us about Manscaped, Espo?
Lindsay, you know what's better than smooth balls? Absolutely nothing. And Manscaped's here to take care of you because it's playoff time. That's right. Do you want to be as smooth as Lord Stanley's cup or Stanley Tucci's head? How about the Larry O'Brien trophy or Adam Silver's head? All you got to do is go to Manscaped, get one of the Lawnmower 4.0s. Oh, no. They're waterproof. They're cordless. You can trim the body. You can trim the boys. Heck, you can trim hedges with them. They're that good.
There's that's even a light on them. There is.
I mean, it's that great. The Weed Whacker. No, that's not an actual Weed Whacker, but it's a Weed Whacker 2.0. Takes care of those nose hairs. And if you're almost 40 like me, you got plenty of them. So go take care of that as well. And the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver. I don't know why it's a crop. Like, I don't got corn down there, but if you do, the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver has got you taken care of. It's ball deodorant and ball toner. What am I toning my balls for?
I need to know what a ball toner is in general.
Am I getting my balls more fit or making them a more tan color? What is the ball toner here?
Is it like the toner you use on your face, like to give you clear skin?
or am I like trying to get contours? I don't know. I don't know. Just
killed Gerald.
It doesn't change, though, according to it.
Next step, we're going to be selling you contour.
Hey, look.
For your undercarriage.
They have beard care, too, because if you're not happy enough with downstairs, you can go upstairs, too, and take care of that beard, you know? And apparently if you wear thongs, I'm talking the thongs, sandals, you can get nail clippers as well. So, you
that's
know,
a bold choice.
You want 20% off and free shipping? Well, you can get that with that code PHNX at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code PHNX at manscaped.com. I think they're going to make me say it one more time. It's the rule of threes. Pick a winner, hit the playoff push, and use Manscaped and that code PHNX to shave that. Oh my God, shave that bush is what it says. That's what it says. I just read.
Well, you know what, with that, I don't think we can top that. So I think we just go ahead and say goodbye. Thank you all for joining. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at @PHNX_Suns. You can follow the great Espo and all of his fantastic ad reads at Espo. Espo, take us home.
I prefer things that, you know, longer than 280 characters, but you can find me. Hey, yo, my lifestyle. Oh, hoy, hoy. Tell the Phoenix Metro, Megas in control, and he ain't never gonna let go. PHNX, though, Lindsey, Gerald, Espo. Saw past the ball, we here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me, y'all always rep the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G, no plan B. Always on the job, my team move like the mob. Turn the beat on, I throw it down like DA on the live. Best